The following was originally broadcast on Northumberland 89.7 FM. For more podcasts and learn more about us, go to northumberland897.ca. And thank you for downloading this podcast.
Welcome to our program, Aging, A New Reality, a show that provides insight into many of the concerns that seniors have during their journey in later years. We talk to experts who will share their knowledge on subjects such as finances, nutrition, housing, and health. On today's program, Madeline Corelli will be talking to Bob Akbari of Baldy Corporation about housing for seniors. Now, here's Madeline.
Today, we have the pleasure of interviewing Bob Akbari. And Bob is the principal for Baldy Corp. And Baldy Corp's business is to build for any organization that requires building, such as a business or a government agency or a school. But the most important thing is that they build the living environments or working environments that meet their customers' needs and that truly grow, that they can truly grow and thrive in. Baldy Corp focuses on environmentally responsible building practices, from advanced construction techniques to high efficiency heating and cooling systems, and they're dedicated to green projects. Home and community are values at the core of their organization. They believe that it is more than just the physical properties that connect us to each other and our surroundings, and that they should provide a heightened experience of lifestyle for their customers. Currently, Baldy Corp is building in Coburg, and they are building a rental, a accessible, energy efficient downtown apartment rental. And it will provide modern, dedicated rental apartment units in the heart of Coburg. The project consists of 71 units of varying sizes and 80 parking spots. And more importantly, I think it will draw on sustainable geothermal energy for all of its heating and cooling requirements. Thank you, Bob, for agreeing to this interview on issues of housing for an aging population. In fact, we'll probably talk about housing for all ages. And as mentioned, Baldy Corp is focused on community when you design and build for that community. What do you see as the future housing needs of an aging population?
Well, thank you for having me on the show and giving us the opportunity to participate. Well, I think the most obvious need is that simply increasing our housing stock, and there's just a lack of housing, and that applies to all demographic groups, and it's not just age-specific. But with that aside, when we talk about age-specific housing and the needs that are specific to seniors and aging adults, I see the lack of variety of accommodations as one of the biggest hurdles that we need to overcome. I mean, the reality is that 75 is the new 60. Thanks to healthier lifestyles and better medical services, we are living not only longer lives, but also more active lives. We need to make sure that we have the right infrastructure in place to meet the different needs of the very diverse lifestyles that our aging population when it comes to their housing. Now, as it stands, the current housing models that we have for seniors are outdated, if you ask me, and are being challenged by the new wave of baby boomers that are starting to plan their senior years. There simply is not enough variety. The current housing models that can accommodate the different lifestyles of our aging population that is looking for. We need to create spaces that are accessible, affordable, integrated into the local communities, spaces that are intergenerational. I mean, spaces that are not exclusive to seniors, spaces that are diverse and vibrant, because we don't want to isolate seniors either. We need spaces that are engaging and fun, spaces that are versatile and can accommodate people aging in place. At the same time, we want to complement the healthcare services and the social services that are available for them, as opposed to putting more strain on an already stressed healthcare system. Don't forget, our aging population is projected to double by 2037. There's definitely going to be more demand placed on the type of housing we traditionally associate with seniors, which are typically smaller units closer to shops and to services, not to mention healthcare services.
I think you're so right. I worry so much that the only thing that is available as one ages is, you know, what they call co-housing or naturally occurring retirement communities or retirement homes or long-term care. And that seems to be sort of it. If you need to move from your principal residence, it seems to be that, you know, there's very little choice. So I'm happy to hear that you also agree with me that choice and variety is important, and also that the quality of lifestyle is important, that it's not just, you know, I've got a place with a bed and a bathroom and a kitchen. It's that I'm integrated into a community in a positive way. What models do you think would provide the best scenario for an aging adult, and why do you think so?
Well, before I answer that, I'll reiterate what you just mentioned as well. I just wanted to say that there is no best scenario, and everyone's circumstance is different. We do build for clients that own and operate retirement homes. And I mean, on one side of the scale, we have people who love their independence and they love being in their homes until the very end. And on the other extreme, I agree, we have people who research and plan and are looking forward to spending their older years in their choice of retirement home. And having that option is great. There is no right or wrong choice. I just wanted to put that out there as well. But I'm more interested in increasing the options available to those that want somewhere in the middle of the two extremes. They like independence, but they want the comfort of knowing that there is help close by when they need it in the middle of the night, let's say, or that they like to be close to their peers, but they like to have choices and options and not locked into any particular plan. I'll mention the project that we're working on in Coburg. It's an upcoming project. It's still in the planning stages. We're planning to implement most, if not all, of the recommendations that came out of the report that was prepared by the collaboration between the Community Planning and Development Center and Ryerson University's Together Design Lab. The name of the report is the Seniors and Intergenerational Purpose-Driven Housing Solution. I mean, a report that your organization was involved in preparing.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. That was a report that, yes, as you said, we partnered with Ryerson Design Lab, and we're very proud of that particular project because it did look at an integrated model of intergenerational housing, and I think it was quite unique in its scope and in its design. So I'm happy to hear that you think that.
I know, it just makes sense because doing our own research on the topic as well, and it's something that we're interested in because both myself and my wife's parents are also aging and part of the retiring community. And it's no surprise to find, and this is the data that's available in the government website as well, that they found more and more seniors want to remain in their homes as long as possible. There was a report that came out from the Office of the Chief Actuary that the average lifespan of Canadians aged 65 and above is 87 for men and 89 for women. I mean, I have fewer years to look forward to than my wife, but hey, we're not complaining. So we're definitely living longer. We're living healthier. We're living more active lives. And we're living more independent lives. Now, with that in mind, I'll jump into the scenario that I think would be best. I would pick aging in place as the best possible scenario. Now, aging in place as defined by the Canadian government, and this is quotes, aging in place means having access to services and health and social supports you need to live safely and independently in your home or your community as long as you wish or are able. Now, with that said, aging in place in this day and age doesn't necessarily mean living in your matrimonial home where you've raised 2-3 kids, where you have to maintain the property, not to mention the building, whether it's changing as simple as changing a light bulb or fixing a leaky roof or having a flood in your basement. It all becomes difficult on a fixed income. But for me, aging in place could mean downsizing, preferably to a condo or rental. It could be a studio or two-bedroom unit where the building maintenance is taken care of, where you can plan your finances better, knowing yet that your cost of accommodations are fixed or more predictable. With that said, it would be a place where the services that you need come to you, as opposed to you having to move from your secure comfort zone. It's a place that is stimulating, engaging. It's an integrated space that gives purpose. Now again, purpose has different meanings to different people. It could be a space that allows for volunteering, mentorship. It allows for further education if you choose to. And just because we've aged doesn't mean we need to stop learning or exploring. And these spaces within the building don't have to be exclusive to the tenants. It could be space that the community at large uses as well. It could be something to look forward to and to give purpose, be an active contributing member of the community, and that could come in any size, shape, or color.
We'll return to our interview right after these messages. You're listening to Aging, a New Reality on Northumberland 89.7. And now we return to Madeline Corelli and her guest, Bob Akbari.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned purpose. I think it's a misunderstood term. You know, it's as if we have to have a purpose in our life from day one. You know, we were meant to be or to do something. But in fact, purpose is always evolving and always changing. And as you age, of course, your purpose becomes completely different than, you know, when you were young and planning a family or, you know, buying your first home. Purpose changes. But the one thing that all the research is very agreed on is that a sense of purpose daily is really critical for our mental health and our physical well-being. You have to have a reason to get up every day. You have to have a reason other than, you know, to eat and sleep. And I think that's a really important piece. And as you said in our study, that was kind of the integral point that we were trying to establish, is that your purpose could be to help the person who lives next door. Your purpose could be that you're a part of a book club, or your purpose could be that you're volunteering somewhere or whatever. But having purpose is important. So the idea of putting purpose into housing, that's a really interesting concept that no one has come up with as yet. And I think that that's an important one. And so what do you think it looks like to design purpose into housing?
Well, I mean, we can definitely design purpose into housing. And this is where the economy of scale factors into the formula. We can allocate enough amenity spaces for such things as learning spaces, food prep, childcare, health services, indoor, outdoor activity areas, and all of the different activities that I mentioned as well before. I mean, we can allow for office spaces in the design, spaces that local or regional healthcare providers can occupy and operate out of in order to provide home care services to the tenants. Working together, we can definitely create spaces that are also affordable to seniors. Don't forget, these social services are available to seniors already. By planning ahead and designing spaces with these needs in mind, we can also reduce the strain on our healthcare system, as well as our social services. Again, the economy scale will benefit everyone in this scenario. Now, the issue is that as developers, we only build and maintain buildings. Developers are usually not very good in providing social services, guilty as charged. And this is where local nonprofits can step in and provide some of the social services that we talked about. Partnerships are great and fully recommended, I would say. We can build these spaces within our designs, but there's typically spaces that we can't sell and are added cost to the project. So this is where municipalities can kick in as well. And they can help with excluding these areas as part of our buildable square footage. They can possibly allow us to build taller or wider by giving us a break in parking And all of these would be at no extra cost to the municipality, but would enable developers to explore creating these extra spaces that they would otherwise not consider because of the added costs. Another thing that we should be mindful is that as people age, they tend to stop cooking or eating well. I mean, don't get me wrong, some people enjoy cooking. My mom loves cooking, even regardless of where she is or what circumstances. But I find that most of us are simply cook not to go hungry. And there's definitely less incentive to cook for one or two people. Or you might have medical procedures that you don't are not really enticed to cook for a short period of time. And that's when you can tap into the, we mentioned a kitchen or a food provider within the building that would be conveniently available. And as I said, this is where the commercial kitchen come in that can provide fresh, nutritious, and healthy options. The kitchen can have multiple users in order to share the cost of setting up and maintaining the kitchen. It could be a shared kitchen with a childcare provider or a commercial restaurant that would occupy the main floor, which is in a quasi way similar to, I guess, a retirement home. But here you have options. You don't have to buy into the meal plan. You do so as a choice, as an option. There could be a cafe on the main floor that services the community as a whole and provides an informal hangout for tenants. There could be a bookstore, an art gallery tucked away into the cafe. Again, not a necessity, but a good thing to have. It keeps the commercial operators on their toes, and at the same time gives them comfort knowing that they have, let's say, 120 to 150 tenants that they can easily cater to. So it could be beneficial for both. Now, obviously, the location of the building would be important. Yeah, it shouldn't be constructed off the beaten path, tucked away somewhere far from the hustle and bustle of Main Street. I know this is contrary to the findings of the report. And again, I based this on anecdotal experience. My parents lived in a beautiful suburban area, nice and quiet. And when they sold and moved to the downtown condo, my dad was a bit reluctant, but if you ask him now, he would never move back because they enjoy the hustle and bustle of just being surrounded by activity. It keeps them engaged and keep them, just the integration is much easier than getting a new car driving somewhere. They're just...
Yeah, and driving may also not go on forever either. You know, you have to retake your license all the time when you age. And I appreciate that, you know, you're saying that in our report, we also talked about an urban and a rural distinction between the types of where you would place a housing complex. You know, our recommendations for the urban were quite different in terms of the location, only because of the rules around a rural area and where you can put things. And not that urban doesn't also have rules, but I think if we can bring people closer to activities and closer to services in a rural area as well, it makes the most sense because you need it for providing those services for people because they need more services as they age, and also making sure that they have it close by so that there isn't necessarily a car involved in transporting people. So I agree with you. It was something that we wanted to look at, urban rural. And we were lucky because we had an office in Peterborough and one in Coburg. So we were able to do that. But I think you're right. I think that probably being closer to amenities is something that people will value as they age. So knowing, and we just have a few seconds left, but knowing that aging in place, which you mentioned before, is not a simple thing. When the roof leaks and the basement floods or the electricity doesn't work or the garage door doesn't open and you have to deal with that. Those are difficult problems. And being in a a grouped area where there is somebody who makes sure that those things are managed absolutely makes things easier. So on that happy note, I would like to thank you very much for this interview, and I look forward to interviewing you more on many more important questions in part two of this interview, and I will talk to you soon again.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sinha.
You've been listening to Madeline Corelli talking with Bob Akbari of Balder Corporation. Be sure to listen to Aging, A New Reality next week at this time to hear the second half of Madeline's interview with Mr. Akbari on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Interviews in this series are conducted by Madeline Corelli, technical assistance by Trevor Joyce, production by Kevin Stewart, Olivia Waldrop, and Paige Johnston. Executive producer is Barry Walker. The preceding program has been a co-production of Northumberland 89.7 FM and the Community Training and Development Centre.